مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة. We welcome you to this program. It is our interview segment of our spiritual breakfast. And today, Alhamdulillah, we have Mulana Musa Akudi. Let's welcome Hazrat Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Hazrat Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. It's good to hear Mulana's voice. Back from Hajj, Mulana is now going to Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Mulana, is Mulana in South Africa at the moment?
Ji. Alhamdulillah, I'm this year. I just returned from Hajj.
Ji.
And now I'll be traveling back to Masjid Al-Aqsa. Mulana Zaid, I just tell my family that I'm more musafir at home than anything else.
Ji, Alhamdulillah. And not just musafir, some people are musafir going for this soccer match, that soccer match. Today, all talks on the cricket of how Afghanistan and South Africa, but that's not our concern. That's all futility, but these are, alhamdulillah, spiritual journeys. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Mulana, we want to speak about, as we haven't spoken about as yet, that the experiences last we heard, Mulana, in fact, was I was here in the studios in Lanesia, and that was the dua on the day of Arafat. I think that was the last I heard Mulana's voice. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Mulana, lessons from the Hajj.
One of the greatest lessons I was telling the Hajis, but before I say that, Maulana, let me just greet all the listeners of Markaz Sahaba. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba. Maulana, you just spoke a little while about the soccer field, you know. I remember once there was a gathering in somebody introduced somebody and says that his affinity with soccer is because he studied in Pakistan. So I was quite shocked at this particular statement. What has that got to do? Is it a cricket frenzy that arises out of studying in those countries where they play cricket in that? And I said to myself that, you know what, we're more worried about the soccer field when we need to prepare for the battlefield. And all our youth also, you know, we should get them out of this year. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. مُرَى مُسِلَى رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ once told me, when you walk by something that is futile, walk away from it with dignity and honor. In fact, the children should learn. I tell them during Hajj, the youngsters, because majority we get youngsters, I tell them, I said that when you go back home, go and do some research and development. We don't want to be wearing shoes made by Yahudi companies. So, you know, we've got a lot of podiatrists, orthopedics, that get together and come out with some shoes. You know, we don't require fashion. We require comfort.
Then
we can promote that. And we can, you know, it's from Muslims, by Muslims, for Muslims. You know, it'll be wonderful. In the same way, you will find the Sanha. The youngsters will phone up, is jelly tots halal? Is Bawan halal? Is this halal? All this Cadbury, Nestle, and all that, they're all our enemies, you know. They are supporting baby killers. Most of the companies that you see, you know, they've been advertised on these BDS campaigns and that they Coca-Cola, all of that. So what happens is we need to teach our children that you do research and development and you do your own thing. That when I see my breakfast table, I don't have to worry. Why must I worry about gelatin? Why must I worry about haram substances, this and that? Because I know it's made by Muslims. So we've got to be in the field there now to do the right things, inshallah.
Mulana, what a brilliant point. I was just telling my family also that we say to the woman that don't go out. And when we really see it on how it plays out eventually, when you have a baby, most mothers, parents will realize this. You're going to purchase a towel, example, for the baby. You won't find, it's very difficult. I know for our last child, we went to how many stores just to find a towel with no eyes on it. It was very, very difficult.
Especially true, Mulana.
So this is exactly what Mulana Musa is saying, that why don't we find an opportunity, purchase for your daughter a sewing machine. That's what the Taliban did. They took their the girls out of schools and they bought for them sewing machines and said, come, produce something from your homes. And this, I find, as Mulana was speaking now, that we tend to be, we just copy. So someone is doing well on the market in this product, we also want to copy that product. Whereas, as Mulana opened up now, there's so many different things which we can now, especially now when Muslims are not purchasing. Yesterday I walked into one store, it said about this Starbucks, and it's on sale, and you already know why it's on sale, because nobody is buying these things. So now is a perfect opportunity to produce a substitute.
Yeah, definitely. So Mulana, you were speaking about Hajj. Alhamdulillah, you know what, Hajj is vibrant always. And anybody who's been for Hajj will always want to be back for Hajj. You asked me what the pertinent lessons that we learn from Hajj. One of the greatest lessons, you know, is a lesson of love. See, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he displays his love for Allah above everything else. Nothing mattered. It was only Allah. And so he came and left his family in a barren desert. رَبِّ إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. I have made of my family to come to an uncultivatable valley near your sacred house. And the purpose and maqsad was no dunya. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Oh my Rabb, so that they may establish salat. فَجَعَلَ أَفِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. And let a group of people be inclined towards them. So the tribe of Jurhum, they came and settled down there near in Makkah Mukarramah. And then the community flourished. And then Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam later built the Kaaba Sharif. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And grant them from the fruit. Now the fruit of dunya and the fruit of the akhirah. Anything and everything you want, you'll get in Makkah Mukarramah. You want a glass of avocado juice? I should say, if you can enjoy it, I can buy a glass of avocado juice. You say, I want some pomegranate juice, I'll get that. This was a dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled for the barren desert. So if you turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you learn to have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will become yours. Man kana lillahi, kana Allahu lahu. He who becomes Allah's, Allah will become his. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family demonstrated their commitment, you know, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah mattered above everything else. See, the mother is left in a barren desert. Then their sabr brings about the well of Zamzam. I mean, it's the only water that is taken from one source to every corner of the world. Zamzam lima shuriba. For whatever intention and purpose it is drunk, it will serve that purpose. So, you know, it is shifa, it is storm. So you learn all this here that dedication and sacrifice brings about the fruits, you know, and the success. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was a winner in the end. The fire, blazing fire too. You know, Allah Ta'ala told him, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. You know, and he didn't even solicit the assistance of Jibreel alayhi salam. Now, I was telling the taxi driver, I said that, you know, this aircon is so nice here. But I say, you know, in all the buildings in Makkah Mukarramah, added to the 48, 50 degrees that you find in the streets, the heat that emanates from all the aircons, because if you stand next to an aircon that's blowing outside, you'll find the heat. So I tell our hajis, I said, this piece of equipment here is the barakat of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. I said, what do you mean? I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. There's a blazing fire, you know, very, very, very high in temperature, prepared for so many days that the birds couldn't even fly over it, you know, that they would perish. And so now that fire becomes cool and peaceful to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's in the midst of the fire and it's air conditioned. Can you imagine? So I said, you see all these air conditioners that are in our rooms and everywhere. Behind the air conditioner, there are two wires, a positive and a negative. And you try holding those two wires in your hand, then you know what fire means. It'll burn you, you know, you'll be electrocuted. So there's fire on one end, and dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, coolness on the other. So you can imagine Allah has demonstrated that ni'mat to us in the form of air conditioners. So one of the first things the Haji does is he goes into the state of Ihram. So we highlight to the Hajis that, you know, one is Ihram brings the state of equality. The king and his subject, the ustad and his student, you know, the master and his slave, everybody on one pedestal. And when they are in the state of Ihram, like Sheikh Abdul Qadir, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi mentioned that it is so similar to death. But that is not the topic of our discussion right now. I tell them that, you know what, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya alayhi salam with a message of Tawheed. That was the first thing. So it was for every nation to believe in Tawheed and Risalat, the oneness of Allah and the prophethood, you know, of the prophet of the time. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came for posterity and forever, it is the beautiful Risalat and prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in our labbaik, there are four times we use a very, very prominent word, and we say, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika laka. Labbaik, I'm present. Allahumma labbaik. Oh my Rabb, I'm present. Labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik. I'm present. There is no partner unto thee. So you carry on saying labbaik four times. So there must be some significance of saying this labbaik. First of all, in Alame Arwah, when the call was made out, you know, for Hajj, and those who responded with labbaik, as many times as they performed labbaik, so many times they will perform Hajj in this worldly life. So that is evident. Then the person in his mad, you know, display of love to Allah Ta'ala, it's like once I remember, I was in Durban, and my wife was doing some shopping, and my son just walked away. He must have been a little 2-year-old or so. And he walked away, and then when she just realized, where is he, she couldn't find him. So she phoned me up. I was sitting in the car, and I quickly rushed out, and there's nowhere in the shop to be found. It's one of the big shops. So I started walking down the road, and the third shop from there, I found my son, and there was a lady holding him. He was crying. So I thanked the lady and I picked him up. This was many, many years back. And then I brought him, and then when my wife saw him, and then she just said, you know, she just said, my Ahmad, oh, my Ahmad, you know, over and over again. So in love, you would say some word over and over again. So you say, labbaik, ya Allah, you wanted me. I'm present. Oh, I'm present. In that spiritual ecstasy, you call out so many times your presence. But there's a deeper meaning to it that, you know, in future, I am present to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his commands. When Allah orders me to get up for Fajr Salat, labbaik. When I have to be in the battlefield, labbaik. When I have to look after my parents, labbaik. When I have to fulfill my responsibilities as a mu'min, labbaik. When I have to look after the widows and the orphans, labbaik. When I have to study my deen, labbaik. For everything. So he's on a widest, greater scale, embracing this labbaik to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that now, ya Allah, I am forever present for you. Two of the other pertinent things that I mentioned in the labbaik is la sharika lak. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaika la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. So here, a person is now saying la sharika lak twice in this kalimat here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, inna shirka la zulmun azim, that it is a moment of great, great, great zulm and injustice to make shirk. I mean, Allah gives us all our ni'mats. Allah looks after us when we are in the wombs of our mothers. Allah nourishes and sustains us. And then we forget Allah and turn towards idols, turn towards human beings, turn towards Buddhas, and turn towards, animals. I mean, how stupid and foolish can we be that we forget Allah and we turn to everything else? Na'udhu billahi min zalik. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that do not ascribe any partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has got no partners whatsoever. So this is very, very potently mentioned. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive that any by anything be ascribed a partner, make shirk unto him. But anything other than that, even if it fills the area between the heavens and the earth, Allah will forgive that. Allah is so ghafoor, Allah is so rahim. So that is the first aspect. Then we have the word ihram. Certain things are haram upon you, a very, very sacred state. Takbir al-tahreema, a takbir that makes things haram. Before Salah, it was permissible to speak, to eat, to drink, to talk to someone. The minute you say the takbir al-tahreema, Allahu Akbar, now you are prohibited from talking to somebody. If you talk to somebody, then your Salat will become nullified. In the very, very same way, you cannot make salam, you cannot eat and consume anything. If you consume anything, you know, bigger than a gram, in your mouth also, and then it goes down your throat, your salat will be nullified. All these masail are there in the books of fiqh. So you aren't allowed to eat, you aren't allowed to drink, you don't look around or anything like that, you have a fixed gaze and everything. So what was permissible for you now became impermissible. So in a very, very same way, in your ihram, what was permissible for you now becomes impermissible. And so sexual relations with one's wife. Then even with emphasis, you know, لا رفت ولا فسوق ولا جدال في. There's no obscenity, no vulgarity, no swearing, no fusuk, no sin, you know, no fighting and quarreling in Hajj. To a greater extent, these things may happen, you know, under certain circumstances. So a person has to restrain himself. And then you can't apply perfume, which you could apply before. You can't cut your fingernails, you can't cut your hair, etc. So these are the prohibitions. You have to wear certain type of clothing for the men, the limitations, you know, for women as well. So all these things taken into account means that there are do's and don'ts in the state of ihram. So Haji will come and ask us and come and tell us, Maulana, you know what, I scratched a little bit, what will happen now? I said, well, okay, you know, if you don't scratch vigorously, but if you scratch lightly, no hair fall off or something like that, you don't have to take out any sabda or anything like that. Okay, Marana, I happen to use perfume soap, you know, so what is a masla here by mistake? Although it was in my mind, in the back of my mind, and I just forgot, you know. So then you tell them that, no, you know what, you have to take out some sadaqa. You didn't apply perfume, you know, on a complete part of it or whatever it is, then you'll explain the masla to them and things like that. So people are so worried about the permissible things that they haven't transgressed the limit, so that, you know, they mustn't find a problem in as far as the Hajj is concerned, for which they have spent so much money. So these two aspects, one is the aspect of abstention from shirk. One is the experience of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our labaik, and now refraining. Coming to my mind about shirk also, once I was sitting in a majlis of our Honorable Shaykh, Marhum Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Masihullah, Rahmatullah Ali, and he mentioned, he says that in the Arabic alphabet, you know, 29 letters, more than half the letters are those that have dots on them. If you look at a ba, it's got a dot, ta, it's got two dots, ta, it's got three dots, a jim, it's got a dot, zal, za, then you'll see sheen, and she's broad, and you can carry on the list, you know, up to ya, with two dots. So, if you look at the entire Arabic alphabet, more than half the letters have got dots on them. So, if you take the word, the kalima of Islam, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, then in this entire kalima of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not use a single letter that has a dot. So Allah did not accept the shirkat and the partnership of one dot in his kalima. How can we have an iota's bit, you know, of shirkat, you know, and partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it's very, very important that in our lives, any aspect of shirk, you know, shirki khafi, shirki jali, I'm sure, Maulana, you speak about it more often on the radio programs, but minute shirk, major shirk, everything we must abstain from. Now, we have to abstain from committing sin, just like we stay away from legal things, you know, that were permissible for us. If they have become impermissible for us, there is a training ground for us that we have to stay away from impermissible things, from guna and masiyat, from sin. Insan khuliqa al-insanu da'ifa, insan is created weak, he commits sin. But immediately after the sun, like your clothes get dirty, you must wash them again. So what happens is the person, you know, makes toba, and this is the way that he washes himself. He goes around the tawaf, he makes Baitullah, and he goes around in seven circuits. Mashaykh, anyway, Mulana Zulfiqar Sahib, Damat Barakatum explained once, he says that it's like a spinning cycle, you know, in a circular motion. You know, everything goes in a circular motion. وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. You know, everything is swimming in orbit. And that is, and that's why the energy is created with movement. You know, you'll find the smallest particle of matter that exists independently, an atom. But the atom will have a nucleus and a proton and all these things. And the energy is created with circular movement. So one is that the tawaf of the Baitullah energizes us. And another one is like a spinning cycle in a washing machine that actually cleanses us from our sins. So sins is something that we learn from here that we must try and refrain from and stay away from. Now, we must remember that, you know, when we commit any sins, there will always be witnesses to the sins. So don't think, you know, for a moment that, you know, nobody is watching me. Nobody is watching me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Quran, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِلْ مِرْصَادِ. Verily, your Rabb, لَبِلْ مِرْصَادِ, our Asatiza, they explain, it's like, you know, a hunter, when he looks through his scope in his rifle, and he puts that cross, or, you know, or that that mark on the animal, and he looks at it with so much precision, more than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. Then the person says, nobody will know, you know, quietly, I'm all alone. So he says, then remember, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Even, you know what your eye just sees something quickly, and close, blinks and closes. Even that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ, whatever the hearts conceal, Allah even knows that. So don't think nobody knows anything yet. And then, nobody is with me. Okay, now I'm in silence. I can do what I want to. My father is not here. My wife is not here. I can do what I want to. Remember, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Allah is with you wherever you are. And then some people are so brazen, so bold, and they say, you know what, like these drug lords, you know, they buy out the police force. Nobody can do me anything. Nobody can do anything to me. They say, إِنِّي أُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ وَأُعَذِّبُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah Ta'ala said, I'll give them such a punishment that I have never ever punished anybody like this before. So remember all these things before one decides to commit any wrong. And then you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Quran, there are witnesses. You know, like in worldly situations, if a crime is committed, the first thing they look out is for witnesses. So there are witnesses to our sins as well. So we can't go about saying that we're doing sins and there are no witnesses to it. The first one is, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. The earth تُحَدِّثُ, it will start now presenting, you know, أَخْبَارَهَا, the news, whatever happened on the earth. So like you have a CC camera that actually photographs everything that you are committing, in the very, very same way, the earth on which we walk, whatever we do on this earth, يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا, the earth will also bear witness and testify. Then we have two angels with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. These two angels, they know what you do. كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. So they are aware of all the actions of a human being, the good and the bad, and يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. They know what you do, and then they note it down. Then the third one is our limbs of our body. You know, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yasin, this day here, we will seal their mouths and their lips will bear witness, you know, and their feet as to what they did. So then, you know, and this may have sounded impossible, But I'm speaking now, you know, delivering this little talk here, this nasiha for myself first and for everybody else on Markaz Sahaba. I have got a plastic object in front of me. They call it a cell phone, a mobile phone. And it is transmitting a sound. And if I put it onto Markaz Sahaba live streaming, then the plastic phone speaks to me, you know, from a little speaker there. So can you imagine that a man created an object which can display sound like a plastic object right in front of me? And in the very, very same way, why won't our limbs be able to speak by the qudrat of Allah? So our limbs will also be bear shahadat and witness to what we have done. And finally, our book of deeds, you know, مَالِ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. What type of a book is this here? It hasn't left out anything, minute or major, you know, everything it has noted down. Today, you know, with the present systems, the cloud, as they call it, you know, each human being, his activities, everything, you know, Google, you know, the two O's in the Google are like two I's. You know, they have a profile of every individual. You go to the bank, anywhere, they just put your ID number down. Receiver of revenue, you can call up, you know, 20 years of your records. What you paid in this year, what you did this year, what was your income, then this and then. So if today Excel and all these computer programs and everything can save so much information, our mighty and great Rabb, you know, records all our deeds, and it's in a book which is known as Nama A'mal, and a book of deeds, you know, and everything is recorded in there. So if you've spoken a harsh word, you've spoken something bad, don't think that it's just khalas, it's not recorded. There is a record of فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرٍ يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرٍ يَرَى. An atom's weight of good, an atom's weight of evil, the consequences of that we are going to see. So the great message that comes out from Hajj is to abstain from sins. So we first were taught abstention, you know, and then we were taught the fazail. And then what happens is the one who is mostly in our way, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind to us. He says, you know what? Shaitan always lures you. Innahu lakum aduwwum mubin. He's your open enemy. So you went to Mina the first day. And Allah wanted you to just rest there. Although the shayateen were in Mina, you could have pelted them all on one day. You know, 777 pebbles, 777, 777 each time. Khalas, the story is over. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you go to Mina, you went to Arafat, you came to Muzdalifah, you hastened towards Mina on the 10th, you went and built the big shaitan. And after you've done, accomplished this year, now Allah Ta'ala says, I want you to come to my sacred house. Come and embrace me with your tawaf-e-ziyara, tawaf-e-ifada. But remember, you know what, in spite of doing all these great things, in spite of me forgiving you, shaitan will never ever leave you. So go back to Mina now. Now go and pelt him, pelt the three shaitans, on the 11th of Dhul-Hijjah. Do the same on the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah. And you know what? If you have that aspect of taqwa and piety, فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ تَأْخَرَ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. So you know what? Go on the 13th day or the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah and go and pelt again. Remember, the shaitan is never ever going to leave you. So you must see to it that whenever he comes, when you pick up the pebbles of the zikr of Allah and you just cast it towards him, no, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, with the zikr of Allah, and let him fall, and you'll be victorious. So this is one of the great lessons that we derive from Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the hidayah to make amal.
Ameen, ameen.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.